This is Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Thank you all for joining us today to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis 500 and an announcement that I'm sure you all have seen that we made a little bit earlier this afternoon. Before we get started, I think it's important to acknowledge that while we're talking about a very important event, an event that's going to be celebrating its 104th running, that everyone knows that the thoughts and the prayers of everybody at Penske Entertainment, the NTT IndyCar Series, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway are with those first responders and doctors and others who are helping right now as we speak and talk about a sporting event as we battle with the coronavirus. We could not be doing this today without those folks who are on the front lines doing their jobs in a way that they didn't think they were going to have to do less than 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we certainly thank them for their efforts. And we encourage everyone to do all that they can to continue to support those in their community that are working 24 hours a day as we battle this virus. Earlier today, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and NTT IndyCar Series announced that the 104th running of the Indianapolis 500 would be rescheduled from its original date of May 24th to a new date of August 23rd. Those of you that know me know I enjoy counting down the days to the Indianapolis 500 and am looking forward to celebrating my 44th consecutive year at the Indianapolis 500. And the countdown has been adjusted today. It will be 150 days from now that we get to celebrate this wonderful race. Before I ask Mark Miles to talk through how we got to this point, I just want to tell you that I'm relieved, along with most of our fans, I think, to know that the Indianapolis 500 is in a spot where it is more sure that it will be run this year. The 500 itself is an event that people look forward to every year. They plan their lives around every year, and I know that it is an important one, and I'm thankful for those fans who will be following us to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in August, and I can't wait for the greatest spectacle in racing to take place. Mark, it's been a challenging couple of weeks since we left St. Petersburg. Why don't you talk a little bit about why we landed on this date and why we think it's an important date and why we're really looking forward to the Indianapolis 500 on August 23rd.
Thanks, Doug. Hello, everybody. Well, I think we've made it clear for some time. It seems like a lot more than 2 weeks that we've been seriously engaged in contingency planning. And, you know, the reality is today we might still have been able to run as scheduled in May. We hope life is back to normal or near normal by then. And after protecting public health, our priority is absolutely about running the 104th Indianapolis 500-mile race in 2020. By rescheduling in late August, we fully expect to be outside the window impacted by the COVID-19 virus. And we and our fans still have 5 months to plan for the event. We believe our fans will be ready in August. More specifically, Doug, the date is in late summer before NFL regular season games and before college football really begin. With a number of postponed sporting events being rescheduled in the summer and early fall, it's frankly very difficult to find three consecutive weekends as we traditionally have in May. So moving the GMR Grand Prix to July 4th to run with NASCAR's Xfinity Series on the road course is a big positive. It's groundbreaking. It will be an exciting addition to the Pennzoil 150, and it will be live on NBC. That left us to find two back-to-back weeks, and we think August 15 and 16 for qualifying and August 23 for the 500-mile race is a great solution. All three of those on-track activities, the two days of qualifying and the 500 itself, will be live on NBC. So actually, we have more live television over the three weekends than we did even last year. So we're grateful to our all of our partners to work with us on this. NBC has been incredibly helpful in working on it, and we think we've landed in a good place.
So I'll just follow up a little bit and expand on what Mark said related to the schedule for our races in August now. One of the things we really did look for was a window where we could do the best possible way of replicating the Indianapolis 500 as our fans know that. So on Wednesday, August 12th through Friday, August 14th, there will be practice for the 104th running of the Indianapolis 500. August 14th, that Friday, will be our traditional Fast Friday leading into the 2 days that Mark discussed around qualifying on Saturday and Sunday, August 15th and 16th. On Thursday, August 20th, we will have Indy Lights practice and qualifying for the Freedom 100, and there will be a new hot pit stop practice for the IndyCar teams as they prepare for race weekend. On Friday, August 21st, we'll have our Miller Lite Carb Day, which will include the final IndyCar practice, the Indy Lights Freedom 100, and our pit stop competition. And our teams are working very hard right now at making that day the celebration that folks are used to it being leading into the Indianapolis 500. On Saturday, August 22nd, Legends Day, the traditional drivers meeting where the 33 drivers get a chance to interact with the thousands of fans who come out to wish them well 24 hours from the green flag. And then on race day, Sunday, August 23rd, the 104th running of the Indianapolis 500 by Gainbridge will take place. You know, Mark, one of the things about May that makes it so special and has from the beginning is how we've been able to honor, in particular, military heroes. But in this year, we have an opportunity to honor some other heroes. Why don't you talk a little bit about why we're excited about some of our pre-race ceremonies that we're already planning for August?
Yeah, happily. This is the way we're thinking about that. You know, the Indianapolis 500-mile race is always inspirational. And as you said, Doug, because it's Memorial Day weekend, it's always been in our DNA that we celebrate our servicemen and women and their sacrifices. And you know, everybody on this phone, I think, knows this event and knows that's part of us. But the fact is, August isn't going to be Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be another time, and it's going to be a time when we may not be the first public event after the real crisis of the virus is pretty much behind us, but we'll certainly be the biggest. And so we just think it will be perfectly in keeping with our tradition of honoring heroes and being inspirational and pulling people together, that we'll be able to think about honoring the heroes that have really stepped forward in fighting this current crisis, this current war. And I think that's going to be terrific to be able to bring out people from all over the country and our community as well, who have played key roles in pulling us together and getting us through this difficult time. Will be very much in keeping with the traditions of the 500.
It is one of the things that makes the Indianapolis Motor Speedway so special is the way that we celebrate more than just the race car drivers, but we celebrate the men and women of all different military, first responders, and otherwise who are the heroes that allow us to go racing on the weekend. You touched on it a little bit. I'm pretty excited about where we've landed with the GMR Grand Prix, having it on July 4th, having the IndyCar drivers run there. Maybe talk a little bit more. Where there's been an awful lot of talk about a double. And I think folks thought someday we would see one. And finally, we're going to see a double, and it's going to be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I mean, how excited are you to have the IndyCar drivers showcasing their talents in front of our NASCAR fans on the front end of the Big Machine Vodka 400 weekend?
Well, it's a huge weekend for us. It's so important to us. It's on its way back. And I think this kind of groundbreaking opportunity to bring our Grand Prix and get Indy cars on the track on Saturday, along just before actually the Xfinity race, is a huge opportunity. I think it will get more IndyCar fans out here for a weekend they might or might not have attended in the past. I think there are going to be some really exciting news about who's driving sometime in the future. And it's just going to be a big, big weekend. As I said before, strategically in the rescheduling of the 500, it meant that we had to find two consecutive weeks instead of three to get it all on national television.
Well, I'm really excited about it. That day is going to be a fantastic day. Big Machine Vodka 400 day is always fantastic, but we were already excited about having the Penske 150 on the road course with the Xfinity cars, and now getting to add the NTT IndyCar series as part of that weekend. It's going to be one that I think folks can't miss, and it'll be a great way to celebrate our country's birthday on July 4th. Before we open up the questions, I had a couple of thank yous that I wanted to pass along on behalf of everybody at the Speedway and the NTT IndyCar Series. My fellow promoter friends at Gateway and at Mid-Ohio for working with us in short order, in order for us to land on the weekends that we landed with the Indianapolis 500. Without the partnership of all the NTT promoters, we wouldn't have such a great series that we have and the ability to work together. So thank you to both of you. Also want to give a shout out to our friends at Moto America, which is the America's best motorcycle racing series. They were originally scheduled to race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on August 23rd weekend, and they have agreed to move their weekend to the second weekend in October in order to accommodate this move of the Indianapolis 500. Those three promoters literally helped us within about 24 hours, and we really thank them for those efforts. But it just tells you an awful lot about the racing community. The same thing goes for NASCAR. I know Mr. Penske put a call into the folks at NASCAR and asked if we could share a weekend, and we got a yes, and it just really goes to show that in times like this, this is one big industry, not several small folks trying to do their own thing. So with that, I think we're ready to open up for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Your line is open.
Yes, I have two questions. I'll ask them separately. First, who on the NASCAR side did Roger speak with? What were the conversations like, and were there any reluctance from NASCAR to agree to a doubleheader weekend?
You know, that's a question that I think Roger would have to answer specifically, but I can tell you from my conversations with leadership there as well, the NASCAR industry has been nothing but helpful from the top all the way through the folks in the trenches like me. So it was not ever one that I think anybody paused on. We're all trying to help each other here, and we would do the same thing from our end if they came to us.
Second question, looking at the calendar, looks like there was an opportunity to have Indy 500 on Labor Day weekend. What considerations went into that to not having the race on that weekend, and ultimately why it was put on this weekend it was on?
This is Mark. I would say there are obviously several things that went into it. The first is, just like we think our fans have their traditions, their family culture for what they do on Memorial Day weekend, I think there's a lot of that that happens on Labor Day weekend. And so we thought it was probably would give our fans more flexibility if we didn't pick the holiday weekend where they may have their own traditions. And then, you know, the later you get into the summer period, the more there are going to be other major events. There's going to be more complications from schools, other sports. And so we just felt like this was the best place to land.
Did NBC want that Labor Day weekend, or were they okay with where you guys ended up?
NBC's been terrific in this. They're in such an interesting position. You know, virtually everything that's been canceled, or I would say postponed so far, is looking to move into the late summer or third or fourth quarters. And everything that they license, that they broadcast, is trying to get squeezed into a much shorter period of time. So they're really trying to work through a Gordian knot of sorts. But they've been helpful in this. They're going to do some other things we're not going to talk about today to help us promote all this. The rest of the series will have a terrific amount of NBC broadcast coverage in the rest of the year. And as I said, the 500 will have a significant broadcast window on race day. Both days of qualifying will have a broadcast window, and the Grand Prix will as well. So we're delighted with those results in working with NBC.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Bruce Martin from...
Congratulations, guys. It looks like a pretty good schedule compared to, you know, considering everything you had to work with. For either of you, I've got two questions. Don't want to date myself, and I'm going to use the term Rubik's Cube, but there were so many moving pieces in all of this to get it to work together with the stakeholders, with the tracks that change dates, with NBC. In a way, how much of a Rubik's Cube was it to figure it all out, to get the right pieces to fall into place?
I think there have been several keys, but the first was that our priority was to have the 500 and to put it at a time far enough out that we have every reason to believe it'll be a safe time from the public's perspective in terms of public health, and to give our fans time to plan so we can count on them to be here in August. That was key. Working with NASCAR has already been talked about. They were terrific, and there was just no friction in that conversation at all. It was about how do we work together to make lemonade out of lemons. NBC has been terrific. As Doug already said, all the promoters on the NTT IndyCar Series have been terrific. And as he said, I really want to give a shout out to our friends at Mid-Ohio and Gateway who really helped us. But at the same time, I think have put themselves in a position to be successful. So on and on and on. And I think we should also recognize the way that the IndyCar Series teams, the owners and the drivers and the whole paddock are coming together. Everybody's behind this. Roger and Jay Fry conducted a conference call with team owners today. It was terrific. It's all positivity, and everybody's moving forward, trying to figure out how to help each other.
And also, we knew that Long Beach, after making a valiant effort to try to find a later date in the year, couldn't make it happen. The two that are missing, Barber and Cota, did you make any efforts? What were the efforts to try to find them a later date, and what eventually was the reason why they couldn't, you know, be part of this year's schedule?
In the best of circumstances, the most normal circumstances, putting together a series calendar is difficult because you have to consider all the things that matter, starting with local considerations. Can they find a time that works for their community? In the case of Long Beach, I think, frankly, you know, in the end, Jim really was hoping we could find a time, but he wanted to find a date that brought at least a couple series together and worked in their community. There was like 1 week on the calendar that could have worked for them, and it just didn't work. In the case of Barber, I think they felt that, you know, they're in the middle of a region with Atlanta and Birmingham, and they really just didn't have options as well. They have other major races, NASCAR races in that region, as everybody knows. So, you know, we've spoken countless times with those promoters and just could not find a time that worked. And I think that they're disappointed, but understand that and are kind of resigned to it. And they'll immediately begin working on 2021.
Well, again, congratulations. I know it's been a difficult time.
Thank you, Bruce.
Your next question comes from the line of Nathan Brown from the Indianapolis Star. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. First off, congratulations on the announcement today. My first question, you guys have talked a lot about how NBC was really cooperative in helping you guys land to this. In this process of landing on the 23rd for the 500, were you guys more so working side by side with them to land on that, or was that more of a proposal where you guys decided this is where you guys wanted to run it, and they were able to accommodate that to that effect?
Well, I wouldn't try to weight the influences. We're in close touch with Gamebridge, with NTT, with really all of our sponsors and all these other stakeholders, and there was really no pushback. Listen, people in Japan, people all over the world, people running businesses and other organizations are confronted with these same challenges. And in some senses, the bigger the business, as in the case with NTT, the more this has had wide impact on them. So they were completely sympathetic and supportive of this conclusion.
Rather than landing in that time frame where the Olympics were in late July, early August, was moving a couple weeks back from that, essentially, did that just really come down to wanting to have the 500 as far down the schedule as made sense to make sure that that this pandemic would hopefully be completely cleared up by then? Because it did seem like that there was that big open window when there wasn't going to be a whole lot going on, at least initially, with the Olympics having just been postponed.
I suppose that, Nate, is sort of the key thing, that in a sense, while being in the summer, giving our fans time to plan, the further away from today, the better. I think that was a key.
And I just my last one for either of you guys, or I guess more so for Mark. With the schedule now starting with Detroit just a week after when the 500 was supposed to initially run, what are your guys' confidence levels of being able to run those first couple races that are now supposed to be the start of the IndyCar schedule, given the state of where things are in the country at this point?
Well, we're optimistic. And again, we're talking with all our promoters regularly. In Detroit, they're optimistic. As I said at the beginning of my comment this afternoon, we might have been able to run the 500, but, you know, it's 2 weeks. And so it's really effectively 3 weeks before Detroit. And the 500's lead times to put everything in place, given the scale of it, are obviously longer than probably any other races. So they're optimistic. We're optimistic. If it just at the end of the day can't happen, we were thinking about other dates that might work, and we'll do everything possible, and they'll do everything possible to stay on the schedule, hopefully at the end of May.
Great. That's all I got. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Your next question comes from the line of Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. Your line is open.
Thank you. I have one for Mark and one for Doug. I'll start with Mark. The news about St. Petersburg essentially being reinstated, if you could give us the overview on that, when you think it might be able to happen, what changed from, you know, when you and the mayor both said that it would be very, very difficult because it's a street course and takes weeks to reconstruct, and why it makes sense now as a championship finale?
Well, we've been in constant contact with our promoter at Green Savory and with the mayor. I've spoken to the mayor of St. Petersburg at least twice in the last, 3 days. And the one thing I'll say about him is he's an IndyCar fan, and he is a true believer in the value of the race at St. Petersburg to his community. And so once they just never gave up, and they're making some arrangements that make it more feasible logistically. I think they'll probably try to keep up some of their stands and not have to completely reset as I thought they might have had to. And so I think that the key was their persistence and their appreciation for what it brings to them. And I think it's just such a superb event for us to be in the South in Florida to start the season every year. It's something we really look forward to and have now for a long time. In this case, we'll be doing it to end the year, and then we'll be back there again in March of 2021. So we think that's pretty special. They're up for it in terms of the date. Obviously, what we've said here is that we expect to run the Laguna Seca event in late September, so we got to get back from the West Coast. I expect that in finding a date for St. Petersburg, it's likely to be, you know, the beginning of October, or maybe even a little later in October.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And for Doug, as far as the doubleheader goes, NASCAR has yet to release their finalized resumption of schedule. And they want to begin at May 9th at Martinsville, but they haven't said definitively that that's going to happen or laid out what they're doing beyond that. Obviously, they want to run 36 races. So is there any concern on your part, or have you guys discussed the potential of NASCAR maybe having the shift dates? If that May 9th date is optimistic and they have to begin a little bit later than that, could that affect the possibility of NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader on July 4th weekend?
You know, right now we along with NASCAR are continuing to hope that we can begin racing at some point well before the July 4th weekend event here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We haven't talked about a contingency plan if we get into a point where we have to rethink the July 4th and July 5th weekend. So at this point in time, we along with I think the entire country can't wait to celebrate our country's birthday on July 4th, and hopefully a lot of people will be doing it here with us at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
All right, thank you both.
Your next question comes from the line of Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports. Your line is open.
Yeah, for Mark or Doug, how much had there been talk about a potential doubleheader with Grand Prix and Xfinity or even Cup before this started? And do you think those conversations, if they had already begun, helped kind of make this more of a reality when everybody was looking to reschedule?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't think there'd been, it's not like we had a plan in place, but it's something that comes up. And it's been clear for a long time that both series, under the right circumstances, thought it could be a good thing for the sport and for each of our series. So the spirits have always been willing. It hasn't necessarily always been the highest priority, but this sort of just created the opportunity to say, here's an opportunity, let's go for it. And as has been said, there wasn't much hesitation.
And for Doug, just to check, if somebody's already bought a ticket for the Xfinity race, is that good now for both races, or are ticket prices changing? Can you kind of go, and do you have any idea beyond just the IndyCar race being first before the Xfinity race, any other details on how that Saturday might look?
So right now we're working through the schedule for that Saturday, but what we do know is that Saturday is going to host two amazing races with the NTT IndyCar Series and the GMR Grand Prix, and then the Penske 150, which we were excited about on its own because it's the first time we've had NASCAR cars on our road course. So that's going to be a fun, packed afternoon of activity. The final schedule is yet to be completely determined, but our customers will be able to bring their ticket that they had for the GMR Grand Prix and the ticket that they had for the Indianapolis 500 and show up at the gate, and we're going to go racing.
Your next question comes from the line of Robin Miller from Racer NBC. Your line is open.
Mark, can you just talk real quick what Doug was talking about? Will there be like a one ticket for all three races on the July 4th weekend? Will there be maybe a new ticket issued that you can attend three races for the price of one?
No, Robin, that's not the plan. As Doug just said, if you already have a ticket for the GMR Grand Prix, you'll just bring that ticket on Saturday morning and you get in. For the rest of the events, we are already well into selling tickets separately, and we'll continue to do that.
And for Doug, is the BC 39 still on that week?
So, yes, right now the BC 39 is scheduled for that week. We've had just preliminary conversations with USAC, but that has been the plan all along. So we still are planning to do that as part of that week. In fact, I just sent a text a little while ago to a certain race car driver in Columbus, Indiana. I said there's one driver on the face of the earth that could compete in all four of the races that will happen at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1 week. And I got a text back from him with a thumbs up. He said, "You get me the good rides and maybe I'll consider it."
So you would the BC 39 be Tuesday or Wednesday night, Doug?
So the BC 39 will be Wednesday and Thursday. Friday will be practice for both of the Xfinity and the NTT series. They will qualify on Saturday morning and race on Saturday, and then Cup race will be on Sunday.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times. Your line is open.
Hey, Mark, another St. Pete question. Given the fact that it's the only one on the revised schedule that doesn't have a date yet, how confident are you that you guys will be able to make everything work and it will be able to be rescheduled and happen?
Well, our confidence comes from our discussions with the mayor and the city administration and our promoter. I don't think they've ever, given up on it. They've all got a lot of things to do with dealing with the crisis right now, but they've looked at it. As I said, they've made some logistical accommodations to make it easier to do than it might otherwise for a street course. And they've looked at their calendar. They want to tend to their knitting and make sure that they take care of their people right now. But if we're talking about, early October, for example, so it's a ways off. And the expectation for everybody is that it'll be time to go racing again. And they are eager to do that.
And then to follow up on that, that would be, depending on the schedule, two IndyCar races here in St. Pete in a 5 or 6 month span. Would you be concerned at all, like kind of race fatigue for the fans here or no?
Actually, I think it builds momentum, and it might be that the logistical accommodations that they're designing right now between the rescheduled race from March to say October could be extended from October to say March. and that could make it, again, sort of more feasible, more efficient. And from all the indications I have, race fans down there would just be thrilled to have us back in there in short order.
Thank you.
Your final question comes from the line of Rob Connett from WIBC Radio Indy. Your line is open.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Mark. Two questions for you. One, you mentioned the specifics about Carb Day, Legends Day, and all the events that will take place those days, but I noticed that you did not mention anything about concerts. REO Speedwagon, Styx, and the Legends Day concert. Have those been canceled?
Yes. So thank you for asking. This is Doug. We have canceled our concerts around this year's Indianapolis 500. As we were focusing on making sure that we could get the most important thing that we have, the Indianapolis 500, scheduled and in the windows that we had and the short amount of time that we had to do it, we were really left with no other option at this point in time other than to cancel those concerts. Obviously, they were scheduled for the 22nd, the 23rd, and 24th of May. And our focus after deciding that we had to move past that date was just making sure that we had the race taken care of.
Gotcha. My other question, you guys have been mentioning NBC and broadcasting the races now in August. For everyone here in Indianapolis and central Indiana, is there still going to be a local blackout? Have you guys thought about that or talked about that?
We're winking each other. Who's taking it? But either you're going to get the same answer from either one of us. We have, of course, thought about it, and we're not going to change the policy at this point. We want to get people in this market out here to enjoy the race together.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So with that, I'll recap and just say thank you. But about the rescheduling of the Indianapolis 500 presented by Gainbridge to August 23rd. Practice will begin on Wednesday, August 12th, culminating in that 104th running about 10 days later. We are excited to know that the Indianapolis 500 this year has a home. We're no longer left waiting and wondering. So hopefully that will be some relief to our fans, and it's certainly relief to us here as we begin to move forward. I wanted to just reiterate some really important thank yous. We have amazing partners at the NTT IndyCar Series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So first and foremost, Gainbridge, but friends like Firestone, Chevy, Honda. Again, I mentioned Gateway in Mid-Ohio. That really says a lot about the NTT IndyCar Series. The folks at NASCAR and Moto America. But I want to close on one that I think is really, really important to us. I talked about the importance of those frontline folks who are out taking care of those that are struggling with COVID right now. GMR, who is our title sponsor for the IndyCar Grand Prix, that is their business. Their business is to help people who are struggling, and their folks are out right now, 100% of their folks out doing work for us. And I just want to thank them for relocating with us, but for continuing to make life better for those of us who live in this country, and we're proud to be associated with them. So thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you over the next 150 days as we lead into the 104th running of the Indianapolis 500.